So I want to start with a little story that I heard this morning. Daniel, come up here real quick. So this is Daniel. So Daniel and his father, it was supposed to be a 32-mile bike ride yesterday. It was supposed to be 32 miles. But they were following the wrong people, right? They were following the wrong people, and they got lost. And so they went 6 miles in the wrong direction, and then he had to go 6 miles back. So a 32-mile bike ride turned into a 40-something-mile bike ride. But and he feels like a man. It was like one of the hardest things I've ever done. But this guy's like super fit. His dad was here in the first service. And so this is Daniel. He's a really good man of God. If you want to talk to someone, this guy is it. He's a great example of someone who loves people. Yeah. Phenomenal example of someone who loves people, and he has a great heart. Give him a round of applause. Him and they went 6 miles out of their way, only they were lost. And I say that story because I share that story with you guys is because we as Christians, sometimes we could be following the wrong people. And we can go completely off track, and we're following a gospel that isn't entirely true. Satan will take a little bit of truth and pervert it so that it looks good, but it's not God. Not everything that looks good is God. Just because you're doing good things doesn't mean you're doing godly things. It's very important to know the difference between God and good. Amen? Amen. And so what I want to talk to you guys, what the subject matter of what we're talking about today is so that you guys do not go 6 miles in the wrong direction. Amen? And you don't have to spend 6 more miles trying to get on the right track. Amen? Amen. Amen. So the title of today's sermon is Kingdom Come. Everyone say Kingdom Come. Kingdom. And the reason is... What I'm going to talk to you guys today is from a place of conviction on my heart. It's a place of conviction that I've literally lived in for the past couple of weeks of just the Holy Spirit pressing on me, saying, if I'm not walking like Jesus walked, then I'm not following him. And I'm not talking about being in church. I'm not talking about coming to service. I'm talking about being out there in the world. I'm talking about being around family members, around coworkers, around friends, that if I'm not walking like Jesus walked, then I am not meeting the standard that he set for me. Amen? You guys still with me? Yeah. I went to a conference a few months ago. It's one of the shirts I got from there. Actually, the only shirt I got from there. And God spoke to me something very, very, very profound to me personally. So originally what he had spoken to me was, Joel, you're nowhere near your limit, and this is only the beginning. And I was like, wow, like that's so cool. But he wasn't talking about ministry. He wasn't talking about what I was doing here at the church. He wasn't talking about the youth group. He wasn't talking about the media team. He wasn't talking about children's ministry. He wasn't talking about any of that. He was talking about me and him. He was saying, your relationship with me is nowhere near its limit. How deep and how intimate we are, it's only the beginning. Now, I've been saved for 6 years, and I've been doing full-time ministry for 5 years. Full-time ministry for 5 years. 6 days a week, 8 hours, sometimes more a day. I have some sweat, and I have some tears here. I have some blood, too. I have a little scar to prove it. I've poured a lot of myself into this church. But God always brings me back to relationship. Because it doesn't matter how successful Souls of Youth is. It doesn't matter how successful the kids' ministry is. I need to make sure that everything that's happening there is flowing out of my relationship with him personally. Amen. I cannot come, I'm not up here preaching as a youth leader or as a media team member or as a children's ministry teacher. I can't, life does not flow from ministry. Life flows from Jesus, amen? Amen. And ministry flows from that life that you have with Jesus. That ministry is not what sustains me. Does that make sense? That ministry needs to be sustained from my obedience to God, from Pastor Drew's obedience to God. Pastor Drew is not a Christian because he's a pastor. He's a pastor because he's a Christian. Does that make sense? Relationships come, his relationship with God comes before the title. He cannot have the title without the relationship. And there's many people that do that, and they get burned out in no time because they're doing everything in their own strength and not from their relationship with God. When David fought Goliath, he said, I'm coming at him with my relationship with God. Amen. Come on. And that's what we need to do, amen? So the title of today's message is Kingdom Come. And so that is a place of where I just want to speak to you guys is if we're not following Jesus out there the way he modeled it to us, the way the disciples modeled it to us, then we've fallen short and we need to step up. Amen?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We'll start with first point. Everyone say, actually, no, sorry, not first point. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Someone say amen. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is this picture that we see of this. This is not Jesus. This isn't Jesus. This is the disciples. They were going to prayer. They were going to church. In their daily life, it wasn't a time set apart for evangelism. It wasn't a time set apart. So, okay, we're going to go preach the gospel in that time, or that place. We're going to go preach the gospel. And it wasn't that. And that can't be us either. I'm not saying it's bad to set time apart to go talk to people about Jesus. But what I'm saying is that your life will preach a lot louder than anything I'll say up here. Because they're not in here. Me, I can preach the word for 3 hours straight. And no one out there is going to get saved. Because no one's out there is hearing it. But people out there, they see you. They talk to you. And here we see the disciples, they're stepping out in faith. They see someone in need, and they look at them with how Jesus would have seen them, someone in need and someone that he can help, someone that needs to be redeemed. And look at this. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wherever we go, we need to be filling people with wonder and amazement.
Yes.
It's what we're called to do. Every single one, wherever we walk, wherever Jesus went, change happened.
Yeah.
And either for better or for worse, some people walked away sad. Some people walked away and probably hopeless. When the word of God comes to you, one of two things will happen. Either your life will change for the better, or your heart will change to look more like a stone. And your heart will get hard, and it will become increasingly harder for you to listen to God the more you resist him. But let today be the day where you listen to God's voice and you let it change you, amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus did not die on the cross so that we can come to church. Jesus died on the cross so that we can be the church.
Amen.
He died on the cross so that we can have a life transformed to look more like him, amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now we'll go to our first point. Our first point. Everyone say, faith works.
Faith works.
Turn to your other neighbor and say, faith works.
Faith works.
You're like, what happens to the first neighbor? I don't know. I don't know. James chapter 2, verse 14. 13. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what, church? Is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Everyone say, "I believe,
I believe.
Therefore I do."
Therefore I do.
They go, you cannot believe and not have the works to back it up.
That's
We don't, like, you will not find that in the Bible where someone just believes, but they don't have the faith. So faith entices action. Faith mobilizes. Amen? John chapter 14, verse 12. Everyone say, I believe.
I believe.
Therefore I do. 14, sir. John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. Everyone say believes.
Believe.
Everyone say faith.
Faith.
Everyone who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Sometimes we read things, I feel like sometimes we read things and we just like, okay, that's not for me. Go back. Sir. Oh, there you go. And that's not for me. Or, oh, that I'm not at that level yet. It's not about that. It's simple. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be cast out and be cast into the sea, and it's going to happen. Yes. Look at this. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. He who believes these works, he will do. He will do. Not maybe, not optional, not in the future. Not after he's gone to school of healing. I'm not saying school of healing is bad. I'm not. I'm just saying you don't have to wait for a position, or you don't have to wait for a certain amount of training to believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Believe and do. Yeah. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 17. We're gonna drive it a little bit deeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these signs will follow. I want to say will follow.
Will follow.
They will follow. I don't see an option here, guys. I don't see the option. I don't see the choice. I don't see A, B, or C. I only see A.
Right.
And either you're choosing it or you're not.
That's right.
And it's an indication of your belief. And these signs will follow those who believe.
Yes.
In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Next verse. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Recover. Will. These signs will follow those who believe. There's too many Christians out there that say they believe, and no signs are following them. According to a 2014 study by the Pew Research Center, 70% of the adult population in the United States identify themselves as Christians. Identify themselves as Christians. I was kind of scared to say this in the first service, but I think I'll say it in this service. But listen to my heart, okay? Listen to what I'm saying, don't listen to the feeling, if that makes sense. But we had a recent tragedy. In Las Vegas, where 59 people died and over like 500 people in the hospital wounded. It's devastating. It's not minimal by any stretch of the means. But that happened, and then I read this statistic from 2014 and I think, where are the Christians? If more than half of the population in the United States claim to be Christian, and if these signs follow those people, if they walked like Jesus, how many times would that guy who was not a Christian have been told, Jesus loves you? How many times would that man have, how many times would someone have reached out to them? Now, I'm just playing what ifs. Obviously, I can't say anything for sure. I really can't. People have free will, and they're going to do what they want to do. But the least we can do, or we can say, is that, you know what? If 70% of the U.S. population says they're Christian, could things have been different if 70% of the U.S. population walked like Christ? Let that be a fire in your bosom to reach out to those. And I read some of the interviews with like his brother, and his brother was like, I had no idea. No one had any idea. He seemed like a nice guy. He was smart. He loved gambling, though. But no one saw it coming. Everyone was Everyone was bum-fuzzled. That means perplexed. Bum-fuzzled. That's the only word that came to my mind. I'm sorry. But no one saw it coming. And usually no one really does. And there's people in our lives that are hurting. Or they're confused. And they're searching for the truth. They're looking for the light. And here's what Jesus said. You are the light. You are the light that they need to see. Amen. Your life will preach a lot louder than me or Pastor Drew here. Amen. It's where we're designed. We're designed to usher in the kingdom. These signs will follow those who believe. Amen. Amen. We cannot go out into the world living in a bubble. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That means that you don't get to be in a bubble with Jesus for the rest of your life and not interact or communicate with anyone. We have a responsibility and a calling to reach out to those who don't know who he is. They're his children, guys, and he's reaching out to them. And we are his highway to reach them. Amen? Amen. Amen. I think it's time. Well, not time. It's always been time. It's been time forever. Listen, like I said, this is a conviction that's been on my heart for the past couple of weeks, and it's not. And it's not until, like I said, I've been in full-time ministry for 5 years, and it is now that this has been so strong on my heart. And I think it's because I have made the decision. After I heard God speak to me, is to dig deeper, to press forward into being more intimate and finding out more of his character and looking more like him. And it's out of that relationship that this conviction that people need to hear the gospel, that conviction grows. And I pray and I hope that conviction is growing in you right now. Amen. That as Christians, if we're not walking like Jesus, then we're not following him. Amen. You guys want to hear something funny? So Jesus is going to spit you out if you're lukewarm. He's going to spit you out. And when I was reading that, I thought of, so there's two things that I really have a distaste for. Hate is a strong word, but my hate is pretty strong. So there's two things I really don't like is mineral water. I really don't like mineral water, like at all. It's terrible. And grapefruit. I really do not like grapefruit at all. And one day, Shayla comes up to me. She's like, hey, try this. It's really good. I was like, okay. Because I trusted her. And so I try it, and it's grapefruit-flavored mineral water. Like a giant. I was like, oh. I was like, what are you doing? She's like, and then she started laughing. She's like, I forgot. I'm sorry. I forgot that you didn't like this. I'm like, I hate it. And so, church, let's not be grapefruit-flavored mineral water to the Lord. Amen? Let's be hot, amen? Hot. Don't be cold, let's be hot. Let's be on fire, let's have that fire in our bosom to reach out to those, amen? Yeah. Everyone say faith works. Faith. All right, moving on, second point, everyone say comfort needed. John chapter 14, verse 26. We're going to read the King James Version, so just look up on the screen. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. When I read this and I was just meditating on God, on the Holy Spirit being our comforter, we need to recognize that there's a reason God sends a comforter. Why would God send a comforter? Because we need the things that God is calling you to do, the calling that's on your life. You're going to need a comforter, guys. How many of you guys know that there's some people out there who are going to make you feel uncomfortable? I wrote this down, is that you cannot be comfortable in the world and comfortable with God at the same time. You can't. And there's too many people searching for comfort in the world. There's too many people searching for answers. There's too many people searching for answers for problems in their life in the world, and they're not going to find it. When God comes into our life, he doesn't deal with our problems. He deals with us. He didn't die on the cross to fix our problems. He died on the cross to fix us. And so things that we think are problems in the world, God says, why do you think that's a problem? Oh, well, because I feel this way. Or because I was offended in this way. Or because I don't feel like I'm enough. Or I don't feel like I have enough. And then Jesus says, well, I'm the one who satisfies you. I'm the one who called you into this world. Don't worry about what they're saying. And so Jesus doesn't deal with the problem. He deals with the problem. Does that make sense? Maybe you guys didn't see me. Jesus doesn't deal with the problem. He deals with the problem. And so we, as spiritual beings, cannot find answers to spiritual questions in a natural world. We cannot. We are not designed to be comfortable in the natural world, guys. We are designed to be comfortable, comforted by the Holy Spirit. We are designed to be comforted by a relationship with God. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's read Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Through 31. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first, we'll stay right here. This is the first commandment. When I read this, it's Jesus being, this is the most important thing. I see nothing being held back. I see Jesus saying, hey, you give God nothing but the best. Nothing but the best. Yes. And many of us, not many of us, turn to your neighbor and say, no one in here.
No one in here.
And then turn to your other neighbor and say, especially not you. Is that we deceive ourselves into thinking that coming to church on Sundays and Wednesdays fulfills this scripture, fulfills this first commandment. It does not. It does not. It's a pretty small piece of it, to be honest. Because to love... If you want to love something with everything you have, you don't limit that to 1 hour on Sundays and one hour on Wednesdays. You can't. There's no relationship there. You talk to anyone who has a best friend that they've been friends with for years and years and years, and they talk every single day. They talk on the phone all the time. They hang out all the time. It's a best friendship. And God wants the same thing with every single one of us. He wants a best friendship with all of us. He died on the cross for this. So we didn't need to go to a pastor. We didn't need to go to a priest. We didn't need to go to someone to get to God the Father. Jesus made the way for us. And it's in him that we reach the Father. It's in him that we fulfill this commandment of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And how can we go to work every day, come home, binge on Netflix for a few hours, go to sleep, and then the next day do the same thing over and over again, and then we doubt God and we blame God because our lives haven't changed? If you're having trouble with coworkers or you're having trouble with your boss, don't go home and watch Netflix. Go home and pray for him. Don't complain to your sister. Don't complain to your mother. Listen, complaining, this is what complaining says. Complaining says, God, if I were you, things would be different. If I had the power to change things, I would change things. If I was God Almighty, things would be different. And there's so much irony in that statement. Because all you got to do is add one word and it will be true. If I was more like, everyone say like. If I was more like God, things would be different. If I was more like Jesus, things would be different. Irony. Amen? Coming to church, lifting up your hands, saying hallelujah, does not fulfill this. And that's not going to change your life. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross so that you can come to church. He died on the cross so that you can be the church. Amen? And I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know whether you're a man or a woman, you're the bride of Christ. And I don't know for those of you who are married, how would you feel if you only saw your wife for 1 hour on Wednesdays and 1 hour on Sundays? Someone say lack of intimacy. But God is calling us to go deeper in relationship. We cannot forget that we're a Christian on Monday. It's not a hat that we put on and we take off. It's not. It's who we are. It's a lifestyle. Amen? Amen. God didn't set you apart to go to church. He set you apart. He set your life apart. Yeah. Your whole life. Yeah. Not just bits and pieces of it. Amen? Okay. We're almost done. Oh. Yes. Yes. Hey, I'd like to call you out, but if you want some more, go read your Bible. Oh. Not calling you out, right? Not calling you out. If you want some more, though, like, come on. Like, coming to church, it does not sustain your relationship with God. Yeah. You're helping me preach, man. Coming to church does not help you, does not feed your relationship. Amen? Coming to church should come out of relationship that you already have with Him. Amen? Listen, I love my relationship with God. I love coming to church, but I love being alone in my car, driving an hour to Claremont for Frank Sinatra. Some people were like, hey, like, who you can go with? I was like, I purposely was very vague about who I was going with because I wanted to go alone so I can just listen to worship music and just pray and just be alone with God. So I'm sorry if I offended anybody. But we already went, sir. So I don't know, raise your hand if you were there. My favorite part. I'm going to grab a chair. You know what I'm talking about, huh? My favorite part is like, so Pastor, you're past the timer right now, okay? So they're sitting at the table, right? Pastor's like this far away from her, right? And then one of the ladies, she's like singing, and she goes into the crowd and she starts singing to like these older men, right? And you see Pastor Drew like see her coming almost toward him. He's like, he literally scooted over. You're right. That is not only a testament of no ladies listening to me beside my wife. But it made my night. I was like, it made my night. It's so funny. Point number three, everyone say kingdom-minded. We cannot think the way the world thinks. I don't know if you guys know this, but many of the things that the kingdom is upside down for starters. The kingdom is way upside down thinking for the world. For us, it's just higher thinking for us. Oh, you want to go to college to be a higher thinker? You don't need college. You need the Bible. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You want to be a higher thinker? Think on His ways. Yeah. Meditate on His ways. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But wherever we go, we need to be kingdom-minded. And what that means is that when issues arise in our workplace, when issues arise in our family, in our marriage, Jesus didn't see people as problems. He didn't see people as problems. I'm going to say it again. Jesus did not see people as problems. Jesus did not pray away people. He didn't pray for people to disappear. Jesus saw people as opportunities. And to be kingdom-minded is any issues that arise in the natural is an opportunity for the supernatural God to be manifested. That is what we're called to do. Okay. Oh. My mind is everywhere. My mind is everywhere. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. We're going to read the Lord's Prayer. Someone say amen. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Go back to the first verse. Can I be honest with you guys? When I read the scripture, when I read Jesus saying, in this manner, therefore, pray, I don't see him praying for more money. I don't see him praying for people to go away. Or I don't see him praying, hey, fix people. I don't see him praying for a better job. I'm not saying you can't pray for a better job. I'm just saying, this is in this manner, pray. But here's what I want to focus on. In this manner, pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Through whom does the kingdom come through? Everyone say me. I don't know if you guys know this, but Jesus is not on the earth right now. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Father. The Father interceding for every single one of us. That's where Jesus is praying for you right now. That's what he's doing. What are we to do? Bring the kingdom. We need to be a highway for God's kingdom. Amen? I don't want to be like LA traffic. I don't want my junk to hinder God to move. Amen? I want to be a wide open highway. Amen? Ray, can you pull up verse 8 real quick? Or right, just right before it. Check this out. Jesus says, pray for my kingdom to come. Pray for daily bread, which is relationship, daily relationship. And then pray that you don't get led into temptation and to be delivered from the evil one. And I want you guys to, because like I said, it's not bad to pray for your jobs. It's not bad to pray for your finances. It's not bad to pray for those things. I'm not saying it is. All I'm saying is that, verse 8, therefore, do not be like them. He's talking about the Pharisees because they would repeat things over and over again thinking that they were holy. But to say things over and over again doesn't make you more spiritual. It doesn't. Praying from the heart is spiritual. Therefore, do not be like them. He's talking about the Pharisees. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Be comforted in knowing that. God already knows what you need. God knows you want a wife. Believe me, he created you that way. God knows you want a better job. God knows that you need some help in your finances. But here's what I'm thinking. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first commandment. And so no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're going through, be comforted. God knows what you're going through. But at the same time, let's be people of faith. And for the first point, right? Faith works. Let's be people of faith and pursue his kingdom. Let's be kingdom-minded people. Amen? Yeah. One more scripture and I'm done. Let's go to John chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. It says, Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Someone say amen. Amen. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Stay right here real quick. The night's coming, guys. And for some of us, it might come sooner than others. That's a good thing, though. That's a great thing. Everyone say, that's a great thing. The older you are, the closer you are to Jesus. Amen? Come on, the older you are, the closer you are to his kingdom. That's good news. Here's the bad news. We don't have a lot of time left here. We don't. When we get to heaven, we won't have the opportunity to step out in faith anymore. In heaven, there will be no sickness, no disease, no tears. No one's going to be sad. No one's going to need your help in heaven. People need your help now. People need you to usher in the kingdom now. And I don't, listen, let's not get to the end of our lives and regret not stepping out in faith. Let's not get to the end of our lives and say, God, there's so much more you wanted me to do. There were so many more people that you wanted me to touch. Let's today. Amen? Yeah. Today. Amen. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about the waitress you should have talked to or the waiter you should have talked to. Let's have that fire in our bosom today, and let's go forth kingdom-minded, ready to usher in the kingdom. Because see, the kingdom doesn't see problems as problems, but the kingdom sees problems as opportunities. And so Jesus walks by this man, and then he's like, hey, like, disciples are like, Jesus, why is this happening? Who sinned? Who was bad? It's like, no one. God just wants to show how awesome he is in this person. Amen? And so, and listen, I'm just reading the scripture. I don't believe God made him blind. I don't believe that at all. I don't. But we don't live in a perfect world. We don't. And so whatever causes man's blindness, it doesn't matter. What matters is that God will be glorified and revealed through him. Amen? And that's how we must see people and any issues that we have. We need to know that God is that God desires to be glorified in whatever we're going through. Amen? And let that be comforting, guys. Yeah. Let that be... sorry. That's so ironic because my mouth is so dry right now. But let that be a push. And I hope that you guys carry... Listen, I have been living in this conviction for the past couple of weeks. I don't want that conviction to go away. I really don't. I want to constantly feel God's heart towards his people. I want to constantly be in this place of people aren't okay. I'm not okay with that. People aren't okay. I'm going to use that as an opportunity to show people who my God is. Amen. 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 Bow your heads and close your eyes. Let me pray over you guys real quick. Ooh. Actually, you can open your eyes real quick. So, this conviction, I shared earlier with you guys that this conviction came because I desired a deeper relationship with God. That the closer I got to God, this conviction came upon me, came on my heart. But there's this one thing that I need to tell you guys is that in my prayer time, I started asking for God's heart. I started realizing that I'm having so much fun doing ministry. I'm having so much fun doing everything I'm doing here that I'm forgetting to tap into God's heart. Ministry is fun, guys. I have so much fun doing ministry. I have so much fun doing God's work. But I need to make sure that I have his heart and that I'm continually seeking his heart. Not only should I be seeking his kingdom expanding here, but I need to seek his heart. I shouldn't do ministry from my own intellect or my own ability. Ministry needs to flow from what is God's heart. And so that's where I started praying. I started saying, God, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Because I see people hurting on the streets. Or I see people lost. And I wouldn't feel anything. I would just go on with my day. As if I'm not a Christian. As if there's not a God in the universe who's trying to reach out to them. And I said, God, I am not right. This is not right, God. Please give me your heart and help me to see people how you see them. Help me to hurt like they hurt and how you hurt. And God answered my prayer. He started giving me this conviction. Now, and anytime I'm anywhere public, I feel this fire and this conviction of Jesus, you need to be manifested here. These signs will follow those who believe. Amen? Amen? I'll let Pastor Drew close you guys out in prayer. Thank you.
Thank you. That was fun at my way. I told Pastor Drew, I said, see, if you would have been close to me like you belong, that never would have happened now. Because the whole room caught that. I mean, you know, there's a whole thing going on. The stage has got all this jazz going on. But when the woman came down, then she started rubbing this guy's shoulders. Then she started rubbing his head. I think he was bald and running her fingers through his hair. He's like, zoop. I said, that's where you belonged in the first place. But I think everyone saw it in the room, and that was the best entertainment of the night. So, yeah, it was good. But did you learn a lesson there? Did you? So we just want to make sure. Hey, guys, you don't have to learn by his mistakes. I hope you were right next to your wife with your arm around her, nice and close. No Wicked City Woman coming your way. You guys ever see Lucy and the Wicked City Woman? Oh, that's the best episode. So funny. Okay. Anyway, back to the Word of God. Thanks for reminding me that, Joel. It just gave me the joy all over again. And everyone else in the room who was there, that was fun. I wanted to, Joel shared, he said that he felt, what was your word? What did the Lord speak to you at the conference? Give me. You're not at your limit. This is only the beginning. okay, you're not at your limit. This is only the beginning. And then he said, the Lord began to reveal to him, and I'm not talking about ministry. I'm talking about your relationship with me. Whether you heard the Lord say that to you or not, he has said it to you. This isn't a Joel thing. God desires to have an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. Now, maybe you're in such a place that you're not even hearing the Lord say, you're not at your limits. This is only the beginning. Maybe we're so tuned into other things and so not close to God that we can't even hear that. But it doesn't make it not true. I want to read to you what was happening in Exodus, and this is just one of the saddest scriptures as you read it. But it's us. And it's no sadder when it's us than it was right here. So this is in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 7. It says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent and meet outside the camp. Who is the tent for? Anyone who wanted to inquire of the Lord. So don't forget that. Write it down. In Exodus 33:7, we're told that this tent is for anyone who wants to come inquire of the Lord. Is that true for us today? Yes. Absolutely. Then verse 8, 33:8, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all of the people arose and they stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he went into the tent. Verse 9, and Moses went into the tent. The pillar and the cloud would come down and it'd stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And then in verse 10, and whenever the people saw the pillar in the cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and they worshiped at their tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And then Moses would return to the camp. But his young aide Joshua did not leave the tent. Joshua went with Moses. And then when Moses would leave, when Moses was done communing with the Lord, Joshua wasn't done. He'd stick around. Any of the children of Israel could have gone there. Joel is sharing with us today that he hears the Lord calling him. I don't know what the date was, but it was somewhere in the last 9-10 months where the Lord told us all, get closer to me. Every one of you, I want you moving in and pressing in. Because we've got some things that we're going to be doing. And we can't do them without the Lord. Joel has told us today, hey, I'm feeling convicted and I heard this and now I'm just starting to press in. But that's for all of us. Are we going to stand at our tents and worship while he goes in? Or are we going to go in? Because God intends for every one of us, he's calling every one of us to a very close, intimate relationship with him. And yet, it's our choice. We can choose to lay down weights and other things that we have in our life that keep us from hearing God's voice, from this intimate relationship with him, from inquiring of him about all kinds of stuff. We can do that, or we can be like Moses and Joshua and we can giddy up on into the tent. And it's our choice. And Joel cannot be intimate with the Lord for me. If I choose not to go, then I will not have that intimacy. The children of Israel, even though they stood at the door of their tent, even though they watched him go, even though they saw the cloud, whatever, but they did not have that face-to-face fellowship, that friendship with the Lord. And that was their doing. We can go anytime we want to. I think Pastor Drew said it in the first service. Maybe it was Joel. I'm a little bit confused right now. But somebody said, it doesn't matter, you know what, how long you've been with the Lord. Maybe you haven't even received the Lord as your Savior. Maybe you haven't asked him to be the Lord of your life. Or maybe you've been coming to church for 20 years. I've seen people, Joel actually is a great example of that, you know what, who comes to church one night on an invite and then has an encounter with the Lord and just never stopped from that night. Just ran. And it's been impressive. People come, they have an experience, and then they go to the stuff that had them in the first place. Other gods in their life. And then people come and they encounter God and they just keep chasing him. Joel has been one of the chasers. I can think, it's striking to me. You know what? There's a lot of people here at Hope, and it's striking to me. There's those, you know what, who are just all in with God. Not perfect. Not, you know, but they know who their God is, and that really is their pursuit. And it's not because they've got these perfect fluffy lives, and it's not because there was no bumps in the road for them. No, everyone's got life happening. But life doesn't carry them away. They just, one thing rocks steady, and that is that they want God. And they're not going to let anyone or anything talk them out of it. They want God. We have to want God. I think I was like that. I don't think I didn't grow at the pace that Joel has grown. You know what? I didn't drop things. It's very impressive. You know what I mean? Just his willingness and his humility to just receive the word of God and walk in it. That it to make changes in his life. You know what? I remember several years ago he came and said, "Hey, I'm feeling like I just don't want to have a Facebook page anymore. I'm feeling like I hear the Lord saying that. What do you think about it?" And we talked about the pros and the cons of that, and you know what? What that's certainly most of us act like we're going to die if we don't have Facebook or the internet. Like we're going to lose it if we can't check our email. And yet, these things are just as powerful of a tool for the enemy as they are for God. And we don't throw these guardrails up all over it that should be there. And we allow it to be this huge temptation in our life that just pulls us from God. How bad do we want God? No one can have it for us except for us. It's a decision that every one of us will make. That we just start to lay aside things that pull for our attention, that pull for our heart, you know what? That's really the difference. You know what? In the beginning, your heart, if we don't give our heart to God, then we end up feeling gypped and ripped off. It's like, wow, I'm missing out on all that. All that is not all that. And we've all been there enough to know it's not all that. Where it's at isn't in all that. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? But if your heart, if you don't fix that, when you start to want something more than you want God, when something else begins to creep in that it wants your attention and your finances and your affection and your time, your thoughts more than God has it, we ought to just get it out of here. Let's settle this right now. I want God more than any of those temptations. Are those things bad? A lot of them not. What makes them bad is when we give it the wrong place in our life. Who's supposed to have number one place? God. But that's a heart thing. We either give God that place in our heart or we don't. And if we do, we end up being like Joshua and Moses. We end up over in the tent, and great things happen, and we grow, and we affect other people's lives. Or, you know what? We're like the children of Israel. We're standing, watching others have their intimate relationship with God. And the only reason we don't have it is because we really don't want it. But we have to make up our mind, no, we want this, and then go for it. Amen? Because the only thing stopping us is us. You know what the word says? Draw near to me, and what's God going to do? He's going to come to you. Who starts it? We do. It's on us. Amen? Amen.